We're going to start in the book of Jonah, in the Old Testament, in chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. And today I wanted to look at the truths in the Word today a little bit concerning preaching Christ. Preaching Christ. God wants us to preach Christ, and it is a great thing to do. Some people do have a misconception of what preaching is. Some people think it connotates a judgment, or it's offensive to be preached to or to preach. But the reality is, to preach simply means to declare, to bring forth in words, to speak. It's not a judgment time in and of itself. It can bring judgment to you, but it's not a judgment in and of itself. And there are two words used in the New Testament that most of the time the word preach or preached are used. The first one is a Greek word called kerusso, and according to E.W. Bollinger, he defined it as to be a herald, discharge and herald's office, to make proclamation, proclaim, announce publicly, to publish announcement. The other one, which is very similar, it's called, I'm not going to get this right, euangelizo. Say that again?
Evangelion.
Something like that. You can look it up. E.W. Bollinger puts that as to bring a joyful message, to proclaim something to somebody as a divine, glad message of salvation. And they're used interchangeably. There must be a difference in its exact meanings, but I don't know what they are. But in a simple sense, they both mean to proclaim, to give forth words as a herald. And it can be on a lot of different subjects. And in here we see in Jonah, God instructing Jonah to preach. And in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Go out there and you say what I tell you to say. And that's what he was to do. And that is preaching. You're just speaking forth information given to you by someone else. Let's go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. It's proclaiming of information. Chapter 1, verse 4. I was looking at that and saying, you know, that's not the verse I was looking at. Verse 14 of chapter 1. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So what he was bringing forth, proclaiming, were things concerning the kingdom of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 18. This verse 18 has both of those Greek words for preach. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach," and that's the word euangelizo, messing that one up, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach," that's the kerusso, "deliverance to the captives." So he was going to preach the gospel, he was going to preach deliverance, all things concerning deliverance. Then verse 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he was going to proclaim things concerning the acceptable year of the Lord, which was the year that, you know, the Redeemer, the Savior of mankind, would be on earth proclaiming what he proclaimed. chapter 4, verse 43. "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogue of Galilee. So he was going to preach concerning the kingdom of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. So it could be on a lot of different subjects. Acts chapter 8. But we want to look at concerning preaching Christ. And in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, referring to Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every household or house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prisoner. Therefore, and here's the reaction of the believers, they were scared to death and ran away. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't go hiding, they went preaching the word. And that word preaching is the euangelizo. I should have wrote it out, sorry. Preaching the word. And then verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached, caruso, the other word, Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. he preached Christ unto them. What does preach Christ mean? Well, that's a good question. Let's look at verse 6. We'll see some of the results of preaching Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was a great sadness that fell over the city. There was great joy in that city. Absolutely. You see a lot of people in your own self get delivered of great things, of terrible things. Great that you get delivered. It does bring a great joy, an absolute great joy. So to preach in a basic form, to preach Christ would be to preach those things concerning Christ, what he did. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. The proclaim words concerning Christ. Acts chapter 4. This is words being spoken to the religious leaders. Verse 10, Peter speaks and it says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that is the Savior. There aren't like several of them. Buddha and Jesus Christ and a couple other guys. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. To preach Christ would be to preach things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 7. To whom we have redemption through his, referring to Jesus Christ, blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's one of the things that we have concerned because of Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Back a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very familiar verse of scripture. And in verse 18. And it's, Chapter. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Chapter 5, my My apologies. Chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled because of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, for he hath made him, referring to Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God promised throughout the Old Testament by way of his prophets that there would be a Redeemer coming, a Savior, and it came to pass. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name. He was the Christ. God raised him up from the dead. He died. He raised up from the dead. He ascended into heaven. These are all things that Jesus Christ did. And Jesus Christ is God's choice for salvation. So basically, to preach Christ would be to proclaim, very simply, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior for mankind. That he died for our sins, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, that God raised him from the dead, that God ascended him into heaven, that God gave him a name above all names, that salvation can only come by way of Jesus Christ. And we'll see, we can look at that in the book of Acts. We're just going to look at a few scriptures. We'll start with chapter 2 of Acts. This is what the apostles and other believers did. They preached Christ by proclaiming Jesus as Lord, proclaiming him as the Savior, proclaiming the resurrection, the ascension. Chapter 2, verse 22, this is on the day of Pentecost, this wonderful preaching that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost, right after receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. Verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by you in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the palms of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's preaching Christ. It's just a proclaiming of that which God has said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 5. It's a heralding. It's not a making up the story. It's just speaking what had happened. Just like when Jonah went to Nineveh, he was to tell those guys what God wanted him to say. And he was the spokesperson. He was the messenger. We've all heard the saying, don't shoot me, I'm just the messenger. Or I'm just the piano guy, don't shoot me. You know, it's just the messenger. A wonderful thing, but just the messenger. We don't make up the story. Chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. John read this record last week. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, about Philip the evangelist. Oh, the word evangelist is a derivative of the word that I can't say. And to evangelize means to preach. It's one who preaches. That's what an evangelist is. One who preaches. Same word. So we're going to go to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And here's what he read. Oh. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Look how God's working with this man to help this eunuch. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou sayest? Readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now that's a wonderful place to be. You speak the word to somebody and they say, yeah, come on in. I want to hear a little bit more of what you got to say here. That's always thrilling to us. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? This of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, he started heralding, proclaiming Jesus Christ, who he was, what he did, according to the scriptures. Just wonderful. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 42. This is Peter when he went to the household of Cornelius, and he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and things that had happened. And verse 42, part of it, he says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, referring to Jesus Christ, he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. And then they ended up getting born again, speaking in tongues. Let's go to chapter 17. It's all over the book of Acts. These are just a few. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And as Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days, Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He went in and showed them from the scriptures all these things concerning Christ and said, hey, he's come. It's happened. It's a done deal. And some of them believed and some of them didn't. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to take a quick look at this one. This one, it's Paul again. Come into a synagogue and speaking covers all these things. Chapter 13, we're going to just pick it up in verse 13. It says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. What does it say? Am I in the wrong chapter? Chapter 13?
Acts 13.
Verse 15?
Oh, verse 15, okay.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
13.
Okay. Sorry, I'll read it again. And after the reading of the law of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Yeah, they farted when they ate. All that stuff. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Chanaan, he divided, or Canaan, he divided the land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So he's going through the Old Testament scriptures, so to speak, of a lead up to the Christ. Verse 23, and of this man's seed, David's seed, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So he's proclaiming the Savior and showing it from the scriptures. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. So it's salvation is available. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath day, they fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So there covers the crucifixion. Verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. So there's the burial. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. There's the resurrection. He's just preaching Christ, but showing the from the scriptures of the Old Testament. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, here's the promise fulfilled, and verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, is that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So there's the forgiveness of sins. It's got the whole thing in one compact teaching, showing them from the scriptures. And that's what Paul would do from place to place. Like it says, we just read in Acts 17, when he went into Thessalonica, as his manner was, proclaimed from the scriptures, you know, he just showed. Now, when I got in the Word, I didn't know anything about the Old Testament. So somebody saying something about the Old Testament wouldn't really make much sense to me. But I had other issues. And when Christ was preached to me, they didn't go to the Old Testament because I didn't know it. Didn't know what the heck they'd be talking about. So, you know, it's... But we preach Christ. Where a person is, who knows where they are in their life. let's go to John chapter 3. Very familiar verse of Scripture. John chapter 3. So the goal or purpose of preaching Christ is to get people to a point that they believe in the Lord, you know, they make Jesus Christ as their Lord, they believe that God raised him from the dead, to accept him, and to get them, you know, to a point where they get saved. That's the whole purpose of it. Chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that great? So that's the purpose of preaching, to get to people to that point. It's just to declare them, to make them known. And lastly, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So if a person does that, we all did that. There's a turning point. You know, you turn from being dead in trespasses and sins to being having eternal life. What a turning point. It's the greatest turning point any of us could ever go through. Go from being ruled by the devil under his regime to being a son of God not being ruled by the devil. That's quite a turning point. There's always this turning point when a person accepts Jesus Christ. A great turning point. And, you know, you see it time and time in the book of Acts, which we're going to take a look at, but not today. But here in Thessalonica, they made a major change by believing. Verse 9 of chapter 1. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know, it's the biggest change an individual ever make in their life. And we have the opportunity to help that happen. Just an amazing privilege. You know, we have the Ministry of Reconciliation. And what a privilege that is. I don't know if there's a greater thing on earth to be able to do for somebody, to get them to understand who Jesus Christ is to a point that they believe in him, make him their Lord, and start changing. What a great thing. So, if they accept Jesus Christ, they get born again. They get the Spirit of God in them, and then God can start going to work. And if they start heeding to the word, like the Philip when he went to Samaria, it says they heeded to him with one accord, things really started happening and blessing their lives. And a great change took place for their lives, great change is taking place for our lives. We're not the same people we were before we heard the word. Anybody the same? No, we're different. Totally different. So I'd like to share a little bit about repentance next week, really what it is scripturally and things concerning that change. I thought we'd listen to a song. I bumped into it a week or two ago. It's an old song by a guy named David Bailey, and it's a ballad actually, and it's called I Did the Choosin'. And the devil did the losing. And really, this is what we can help people with in their lives as we present Christ. And of course, it's happened to our lives. And the change continues to happen. But it's a clever little song. Here it is.
Well, I did the choosing, and the devil did the losing. When I made Jesus Christ my Lord, I left behind those years of too many fears. When I walked on through that door, I'd been slipping and sliding, and dipping and diving. I was getting mighty black and blue. But now I'm milking the moments of the mystery, while I'm living in the loving of the Lord. Well, I went downtown to the hotel bar, and I ran into Honky Tonk Blue. She said, come on, baby, won't you drive me crazy, just like you used to do. I said, no thanks, honey, ain't trying to be funny, this love of old is brand new. You see, I've got better things to do with my time and money than to spend them lying here with you. Now as I turned to go, Lou grabbed my coat and said, what's gotten into you? I said, his name's Jesus Christ and he's the light, and with it his love I'll never lose. But Lou said, said, hold it, wait a minute, lover boy, I think I'm going along with you. If you can love an old broken down couple drunk like you, I know we can love me too. Oh well, Luke did the choosing and the devil did the losing when she made Jesus Christ the Lord. She left behind those years of too many fears when she walked on through that door. She'd been a-slipping and a-sliding and dipping and a-dabbing and was getting mighty black and blue. But now she's looking the moments of the mystery while she's living in the loving of the Lord. Well, I went down high under the midnight sky till I came to Lane Avenue. I saw Cocaine Annie and she said, boy, have I got some mighty fine stuff for you. Oh, well, I just got it in the prom in New York City. The price is just right for you. Now it'll take you higher than a rocket ship flight, way up to the moon. She nearly fell on the fanny. No thanks, Annie, you keep your silver spoon. Because I've got a Lord who loves me and I'm already seated far higher than the moon. Well, I went on walking after I got done talking, but Annie yelled, hey, wait a minute, son. If he can love an old junkie who looks like a monkey, maybe he can love me too.
And he did look like a monkey.
And she made Jesus Christ the Lord. She left behind those years of too many fears when she walked on through that door. She'd been a-slipping and a-sliding and dipping and a-diving. I'm just getting mighty black and blue. But now she's milking the moments of the mystery while she's living in the loving of the Lord. But there was Hollywood Mac in his big Cadillac saying, I've got a deal for you, boy. I'll put your name in lights to sing your songs every night, just like you used to do. Just sell your soul in return for the gold, and I'll certainly hire you. I looked him in the eye and said, no thanks, Mac, you can keep your jack. Singapore is brand new. You see, I put God first, and he quenched my thirst, and he made me wise to suckers like you. But Max said, hold it, wait a minute, boy, you seem to have lost your blues. If he can love an old black and blue confessing like you, I know he can love me too. Oh, well, a Mac picked the choosing, I'm the devil. Jesus Christ the Lord. He left behind those years and too many fears when he walked on through that door. He'd been slipping and sliding and dipping and diving. I'm just getting mighty black and blue. But now he's milking the moments of the mystery while he's living in the loving of the Lord. And ain't we all milking the moments of the mystery while we're living in
you know, just to preach Christ and give people an opportunity to change. What a privilege. What a privilege. So, you know, you don't change unless you realize you have a need to change. Right? I mean, you go along your way living life and you think that's the way life is. And unless you realize you have a need for changing, you don't change. You never make that decision to change. So that's what repentance is all about in the scriptures. What is it in repentance that gets a person to a point of saying, I want Jesus Christ. That's what I want. And that's what we're going to look at next week, is what is it that God works in an individual's life to get to that point. It's pretty cool the way God designed it. So, and then God starts working a work in that individual. Some stand, some won't really see the greatness of it until they get in heaven. But they get born again. So, and there's periods of time through history where there was great movements of Christ being preached, and many, many people getting born again. And, we're living in one of them. Great time to live life. Great movement of God, His Word being preached, and Christ being presented to people. So that's what we'll look at next week. So, just great stuff.